Ulysses and the Cyclops, interpreted from the perspective of yoga and enlightenment, by Andre Sesta, narrated by Brad Grahowski. The yoga and enlightenment interpretation of the story of Ulysses and the Cyclops Polyphemus. This is an interpretation of the original story from the perspective of yoga and enlightenment. You'll be surprised by how much the story of Ulysses, Odysseus, escaping the Cyclops cave describes the opening up of our own consciousness. The story is an extract from a chapter of the book named Journey with Yoga, written by author Andre Sesta, with editor and scientific advisor Dario Nardi, revised by Andre's teacher Lama Zupa. Excerpt from Chapter 8 of the book Journey with Yoga. Chapter title, Consciousness and the Divine, Greek Gods, Yoga, and Enlightenment. This chapter is dedicated to the divine within you. This chapter dives into the realms of consciousness and the divine. This is the first of several chapters on where yoga takes us. Section 1. From Animal to Superhuman, Divine. Friedrich Nietzsche stated, "Man is a rope stretched between the animal and the Superman, a rope over an abyss, a dangerous crossing, a dangerous wayfaring, a dangerous looking back, a dangerous trembling and halting. What is great in man is that he is a bridge and not a goal." Figure title, Man as a Bridge. This figure shows a bridge inclined upwards. The bridge crosses an abyss and moves towards the sun shining in blue sky. A man in the middle of the bridge has his back facing us. He climbs the bridge towards an opening in the clouds where the light shines. Some animals like elephants and giraffes stand next to the bridge, curiously looking at the scene. This quote from Nietzsche serves as a perfect introduction. If man is a bridge spanning the chasm between the animal and the superhuman, or divine, what is left behind? And what awaits on the other side? To understand the animal nature left behind, we turn to the story of Ulysses and the Cyclops in the section, Ulysses Walks from the Darkness into the Light. Here, our Greek hero Ulysses escapes the dark cave of a one-eyed ogre, symbolizing a departure from ignorance. Ulysses ingeniously plots his escape and walks out with humility on all fours, cloaked in a sheepskin, representing both the animal nature and purity. He crawls until he can finally stand upright in the light. As for the superhuman nature man embraces at the other end of the bridge, the upcoming section, The Gods Within Us, explores how Greek gods and similar constructs in yoga serve as bridges to unite us with the divine. Nietzsche's choice of superhuman is fitting. Hindus consider the Vedas to be aparurusaya, which means not of a man, superhuman. These ancient texts, the first to mention chakras over 2,000 years ago, describe a typical experience where energy ascends from the lower chakras, associated with animal nature, to the higher chakras, linked to the divine and transcendent. Chapter 10 will guide us through a tantric meditation, visualizing this upward movement of energy. What is even more special about Nietzsche's quote is that it sees man as unfinished, as always in the making, as a process, using the bridge metaphor. We spoke about this the previous chapter, The Path of Yoga. We spoke about how the yogi needs to focus not on closed conceptual definitions of oneself, but on an open-ended journey, a process, a set of continuously improved functions. Section 2. What was the Greek mind and psychology like by the time the story of Ulysses and the Cyclops was written? To understand the Greek mind and psychology by the time of the story of Ulysses and the Cyclops from the Odyssey, we need to briefly introduce Homeric psychology. The basic thesis of Homeric psychology is that by the time the story of Ulysses and the Cyclops was written, the Greek mind was going through an opening up of their consciousness. Before, the Greek were not very conscious and attributed much of what happened to the gods, both what happened inside their minds and also outside. Some of these claims of an opening up of consciousness in the Greek were empirically supported in a 2021 study by psychohistorian Boban Dedovich. The study compared the word counts of mental language, words for the mind, between 34 versions of the Iliad and Odyssey. You can find this in Homeric Psychology Introduction at the Wikipedia. In sum, the Greeks started using more words for mind, and also more reflexive pronouns. They were becoming more self-aware, more conscious. The Iliad and Odyssey took their present form when Greeks learned to write using the N-Phoenician alphabet. Before that, the Greeks communicated the story by oral tradition, hence the multiple versions of the Iliad and Odyssey, with 34 versions studied over time. In my opinion, the above research thesis that the Greek consciousness was opening up by the time of the Iliad and Odyssey seems very plausible. Learning to write increases reflection and self-awareness, so much that psychologists recommend journaling to their patients. Section 3. The story of Ulysses and the Cyclops as an opening up of consciousness. The story of Ulysses, where he visits the island of the Cyclops as part of the Odyssey, can be interpreted as an opening up of consciousness. I must say that I have never encountered this story interpreted as one of enlightenment, as I will interpret it below. If you know of similar interpretations, please let me know about them, and I will quote them on the next book edition. I will tell you the story in a summarized way. Please read the unabridged version for free online if you wish. You will find it by searching for keywords, Ulysses and the Cyclops named Polyphemus, and by searching Wikipedia. Polyphemus is a one-eyed giant living on an island with other Cyclops, one-eyed creatures. His name means abounding in songs and legends, many-voiced or very famous. Every night, Polyphemus takes shelter in a cave where he sleeps with his sheep. In Homer's epic, Ulysses lands on the island of the Cyclops during his journey home, and together with some of his men enters the cave filled with provisions. When the giant Polyphemus returns to the cave with his flocks of sheep, he blocks the entrance with a great stone, and, scorning the usual custom of hospitality, eats two of the men. Next morning, the giant kills and eats two more men and leaves the cave to graze his sheep, while blocking the entrance with a heavy boulder. After the giant returns in the evening and eats two more of the men, Ulysses offers Polyphemus some strong, undiluted wine, which was given to him earlier on his journey. Drunk and unwary, the giant asks Ulysses his name.
"What is your name, stranger, so I can give you a guest gift that you will enjoy?"
Ulysses, with a cunning glint in his eye, replied, "My name is Nobody. Nobody is what my mother and father call me, and all my comrades as well."
Polyphemus slurred,
"Nobody? I will eat last of his company. The others I will eat first. That will be my guest gift to you."
He then collapsed into a drunken stupor. Ulysses had meanwhile hardened a wooden stake in the fire, and now drives it into Polyphemus's eye. Figure title: Ulysses and his companions blinding Polyphemus. Laconian black figure cup, 565-560 BC. In this cup, we notice a snake depicted parallel to the spear, both hitting the Cyclops' forefront. In the morning, the blind Cyclops lets the sheep out to graze, feeling their backs to ensure that the men are not escaping. However, Ulysses and his men have tied themselves to the undersides of the animals in order to get away. Ulysses leaves Polyphemus's cave. In the artwork on this figure, Ulysses escapes on all fours with a sheepskin on his back. The light penetrates the cave entrance, where the Cyclops touches the sheepskin on Ulysses' back. What does this short story mean from the perspective of yoga, Jungian psychology, and enlightenment? Section 4. The story interpreted as an opening up of consciousness. In mythology and in Jungian interpretation of dreams, it is common that different characters represent different personality aspects of a single person, the dreamer. The story of Ulysses escaping the Cyclops' grip and walking into the light is to be interpreted as Ulysses transcending his own shadow and ego, the Cyclops, and becoming enlightened, walking out from the cave into the light. Let us go step by step over the story and interpret it. When we start a paragraph with the word, quote, we will be quoting from the summarized story. When we start a paragraph with the word interpretation, we will be interpreting what the original story says. Quote, in Homer's epic, Ulysses lands on the island of the Cyclops during his journey home. Interpretation. Yes, it is on the return home that one gets enlightened, that is, leaves the darkness of the cave and walks into the light, See Returning Home on the next chapter. Quote, Polyphemus is the one-eyed giant living on an island of other cyclops, one-eyed creatures. Interpretation. A one-eyed creature is half-blind and lacks depth of field. A cyclops cannot see as well as Ulysses with his two eyes. In India, they paint a red third eye on the forehead to symbolize an awakened consciousness. In any case, the math's in this. The more eyes, the more consciousness. It does not matter if it is two eyes instead of one, as in Ulysses' myth, or as in India, three eyes instead of two. Quote, the cyclops' name Polyphemus means abounding in songs and legends, many-voiced, or very famous. Interpretation. Funny name, abounding in songs or legends. One of my favorite definitions of ego is this. Ego is made out of stories we tell ourselves. Ego is indeed full of stories about who I am, what I promise I will do. These are identity-creating stories that are charged with emotions. Slimy stories that stick around, building one over the other. For instance, when we ruminate about past happenings, trying to somehow fix them, that is typically our ego setting the story straight, instead of our consciousness trying to face our shadow and deconstruct or integrate. In our times, when a high school girl says she wants to be a cheerleader or model to achieve popularity, that is often one such slimy story. The very famous nickname of our cyclops sounds to me like what most egos want to be. Very famous. Figure description. A girl cries with her hands on her forefront. Lots of images of her shattered dreams surround her head. A person under the torment of her internal voices, inner chatter. She's under repeating songs stuck to her mind. She's ruminating stories about who she was, is, and will be, such as stories about being very famous or popular. There are so many voices in her head. This is an old problem depicted for a girl of our times, with her daydreams of being a cheerleader and social media star shattered into tears. The many-voiced translation of the Cyclops' name is really what a big ego looks like inside one's mind. It is that inner voice that does not shut up during meditation. It is the chatter. Every time I realize I'm telling myself some story, or wanting to be popular like Shanti Deva says, I know what remedy to apply to avoid building more identity. Like my first teacher says, a great man always believes to have more than he deserves. Thus, no more stories about who I must become or what I must own or so on. I can just be, just flow, just live the process, just cross the bridge. Quote, every night, Polyphemus takes shelter in a cave where he sleeps with his sheep. Interpretation. A cave, as Plato's cave, is a symbol for our own ignorance that only sees the shadows of what passes in front of the mouth of the cave. It is our own lack of consciousness, our dark, unenlightened state. So here we have already a creature that is full of stories, deemed famous, and he has only one eye and lives in the dark. Sounds like a mind under the grip of ego, not a liberated yogi mind. To make things worse, Homer's Cyclops eats people. A bit of a psycho, perhaps. It's much like unfortunate people who get eaten by the ignorance of ego before they can finish the work of leaving the shadows of the cave. This man-eating Cyclops story sounds a lot like the Mahamudrashad, where you meditate about your own ignorance in the form of a giant pig eating your own body. Pigs symbolize the ignorance poison in Buddhism. This is supposed to make the meditator stop wasting a life that is eaten away by ignorance. In the Mahamudrashad, one can also meditate on his own lust in the form of a lustful being eating his physical body away. The same for hate. Giorgio Kinark has a painting that may inspire your Mahamudrashad meditation. It is called Lucifero. To find this painting, just use a web image search for the keywords Lucifero, Giorgio Kinark. But who would leave this cave and how? Our hero Ulysses has a cunning plan. His plan is like a path of yoga, a path to get into the light. Ulysses tricks the giant Cyclops to fall deeply asleep while he stays awake. Here the Cyclops symbolizes Ulysses' own unenlightened state. In other words, Ulysses puts the ego to sleep while he is there, present and aware. It is exactly like in meditation, where there is increased silence from the ego, combined with the presence of a higher awareness and wakefulness. The above is exactly how the Buddha got enlightened around 400 BC through meditation, and before Kundalini practices, acting as a shortcut to enlightenment, became more developed in the year 8th century by the Mahasiddhas. And it is how Ulysses, way before 400 BC, got out of the cave and into the light, as if through meditation and the action of the Kundalini energy. The story says Ulysses used a special wine to get the Cyclops to fall asleep. For the Greeks and in many other ancient cultures, wine is a symbol of a magical transformation of grapes into something ethereal. The Greek Dionysian rites used wine as a symbol of the mystical experience. And let us not forget that Dionysius is depicted holding a rod, in Kundalini, the central channel, with a pine cone at the top, the pineal gland associated with the head chakra. With a cyclops drunk asleep, Ulysses pokes the single eye of his ego-resembling creature with a wooden stake or spear prepared on fire. This act symbolizes the Kundalini fire energy rising through the spine, eliminating all darkness and blindness, the single-eyed, egoic way of seeing. When the Kundalini reaches the head chakra, the person is fully conscious, as discussed in this chapter. And when it reaches the crown chakra, the person transcends his condition, as covered in the next chapter. Figure 1. Ulysses and his companions blinding Polyphemus. Laconian black figure cup, 565-560 BC. In the artwork above, we can see the man-eating Cyclops sitting drunk with wine, while Ulysses and his sailors poke its eye with a stake. A snake appears parallel to the stake reaching the Cyclops' forehead. The above is what happens before Ulysses gets out of the cave and into the light. And the above is also what happens before enlightenment. The Kundalini serpent energy rises up the spine through the central energy channel. As it rises, it pierces through the chakras and eliminates ignorance, blindness, opens the third eye, and then reaches to the crown. Notice how the snake in the plate touches the forehead of the Cyclops, symbolizing the unenlightened Ulysses. When the Kundalini serpent or fire energy reaches the crown, full enlightenment sets in. See next chapter. The above comparison was brief in a single paragraph. Let us now go over it step by step. Enlightenment in Buddhism is often depicted as the opening of the crown chakra, the thousand-petaled lotus. This depiction is not just a story. It takes place in the energy body, and it is felt and described similarly by all who experience this process, including those in different non-Buddhist cultures. See the Sivananda quote below. It starts with the Kundalini fire energy rising through the central energy channel on the spine and piercing or opening all of the chakras, including the head and crown chakras. Samadhi, or liberation, in yoga, is depicted thusly. When Kundalini is taken to the Sahasrara, crown chakra, and when it is united with Lord Shiva, perfect samadhi ensues. The yogic student drinks the nectar of immortality. He has reached the goal. Mother Kundalini has done her task now. Glory to Mother Kundalini. May her blessings be upon you all. Sri Swami Sivanandi Saraswati. There are three multicultural symbols for the Kundalini: a fire column, a rod, and a snake coiled at the base of the spine and raising all the way to the head. All three elements are present on the Greek plate above, including the snake and the rod prepared on fire. It is often like this. When the ancients want us to see something, they write it three or more times. It is like using bold in text. We will see that again with the Pashupati seal. This makes it hard to interpret the snake as anything else here. For instance, we cannot see it as an animal that kills with the strongest poison, as the Cyclops does not die. Ego also stays after enlightenment, but it is made transparent. Nor do snakes bite people in the head. If you've had Kundalini experiences, all of this is so obvious. But I am arguing here for those who have not had the experience yet. In both the Odyssey and on the plate above, the Cyclops is blinded. This symbolizes Ulysses himself and his sailors leaving behind a single-eyed way of seeing in order to move into the light to see better and more consciously. How does Ulysses move into the light? He moves on all fours under a sheepskin. The most important symbology here is that of the sheep as an animal. There are thousands of depictions of yogis meditating over animal skins, deer, tiger, etc. See, for instance, Sivanandi's portrait in Chapter 1, where he sits on a deer skin. This symbolizes the yogi's mastery of the animal side. In Kundalini, the sexual and animal energy is very powerful and needs to be mastered and directed through a different flow up the spine. One could also argue that the sheep is a herd animal, and that Ulysses' sailing journey is indeed a departure from the herd mentality typical of those who cocoon at home. Besides being an animal, the sheep is a symbol for purity. Indeed, only those with a pure heart, pure like a white sheep, can leave the dark cave and see the light. Dear yogi friends, this humble sheepskin exit is our path to purity, our work on the shadow, our observances, yamas, niyamas, etc. It is the feather from the Egyptian Maat story, where only the hearts that are as light as a feather enter heaven, or exit the cave if you wish. It is our leaving behind of a dark, one-eyed ego. Only those with humility, bowing their head down, leaving on all fours, can see the light. And above all, those not claiming this walk into the light in their own name, building ego in the process. The others get eaten by the Cyclops, nicknamed Very Famous. On humility. Take the lowest place, and you shall reach the highest. The yogi Milarepa. And, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Christ. And, it's great to be great, but it's greater to be human. Will Rogers. Homer's Cyclops, which can symbolize ego, promises a gift if Ulysses reveals his name. Ulysses resists the temptation of any gift, reward for any of his achievements. Ulysses resists the temptation of identification, as offered by what symbolizes ego. This de-identification is Laya Yoga, the yoga of dissolution, which culminates in a Kundalini, chakra-opening experience. More about that in the next chapter. Finally, Ulysses, or nobody, walks into the light with some of his sailors. They stand firm in the light. A final word regarding Ulysses. Somebody asked Eckhart Tolle, who gets enlightened? Tolle's answer, nobody. Nobody gets enlightened. It is just the ego that becomes transparent. Thus we can see the ego for what it is. Look at it in the eye and see the coward in it. Regarding Ulysses answering with, I am nobody, a better answer would be an illusion, or I don't know. The emperor said, who is this facing me? Bodhidharma said, don't know. And whoever knows that the mind is a fiction and devoid of anything real, knows that his own mind neither exists nor doesn't exist. Mortals keep creating the mind, claiming it exists. And arhats keep negating the mind, claiming it doesn't exist. But bodhisattvas and buddhas neither create nor negate the mind. Bodhidharma. Arnold Böcklin. Polyphemus attempts to crush the boat of the escaping Odysseus. Source, Wikipedia. License, public domain. Let's return to our introduction quote from Nietzsche. If man is a bridge from animal into the superhuman, to the divine, then the story of Ulysses is all about leaving behind that animal side, that one-eyed Polyphemus Cyclops, an ogre living in darkness. But how about the approaching of the other side of the bridge mentioned by Nietzsche? That is, the superhuman, the light side, the divine. If you want to know more about walking into the light, we will go there in the section The Gods Within Us, The Gods For Us, The Gods Against Us, and the next chapter. I sincerely hope this story interpretation helps us tie together various threads. Jung's concepts of shadow and ego, symbology, greater consciousness, and walking into the light. By the way, you may be surprised by how the ancient Greeks exchanged knowledge with yoga, Buddhism, Shaivism, Jainism, Sankhya, and Tantrism. For that, see Orphism, The Ancient Roots of Green Buddhism by Ralph Abraham. As an exercise, try to think of yourself as nobody, like Ulysses did. Does it hurt if you try? Where does it hurt? Make this who that hurts become a what. Is it real? Can you function without it or above it, and later with less and less of it? My exercise answer. My answer to this exercise has changed over the years. For a while, it would hurt something in me to think of my ego as nobody, as an illusion. I wanted to be someone and to identify myself with things I did. After a watershed period, this changed. Now, if I think of ego as nobody, emptiness and an illusion. This brings happiness, bliss, weightlessness. This de-identification improved how to make better decisions, avoid bias, avoid danger, think clearly, build a better world, and be creative. My whole being functions better and more productively without having to grow an ego. Even better, expressions of life bloomed. Scientific articles, software projects, relationships, and financial security. Everything improved, sometimes more qualitatively than quantitatively. So who am I, if I am not only my body, and if I am not only my ego, and yet I am conscious of them? Am I a bridge, a process, a function, an ever-changing metamorphosis who does not know who he is, a flowering blossom? we explore this question in the next chapter on consciousness. This, which is the most enlightening in us, seems to be the capability of having humility and calling ourselves nobody. Like the blissful Lama Yishi said, renunciation, this is what matters. You are now at the end of the audiobook, Ulysses and the Cyclops interpreted from the perspective of yoga and enlightenment. You may wish to visit our book website, journeywithyoga.com, for more resources, artwork, and quotes. That is journeywithyoga.com, all together without separation on the words. The most important journey you will ever take in life is the journey into yourself. Enjoy the journey. Journey with Yoga is a multifaceted book with all the essentials on yoga. It is a mix of travel book, yoga manual, meditation guide, poetry and storytelling book, psychology and self-help book, biography, art and history contemplation book illustrated by top artists, edited and revised by a scientist. Journey with Yoga empowers you to dive deep and expand your horizons. Integrate yoga holistically into your daily life, unlocking its true potential and uncovering hidden depths through guided practice and exercises. Explore a wealth of inspiration. Discover yogic and non-yogic texts, art, and exercises for body and mind beautifully described. Connect the dots. Discover the fascinating links between yoga, science, psychology, sports, nutrition, sexuality, and spirituality. Embark on an exciting and transformative adventure with Journey on Yoga. It's time to discover the power within. The author Andre Sesta has a multi-decade experience with yoga and related practices. See the page behind the book back cover for his experience and the book layout. www.journeywithyoga.com. This has been Ulysses and the Cyclops, interpreted from the perspective of yoga and enlightenment by Andre Sesta, narrated by Brad Grahowski. Copyright 2025, Andre Sesta. Production copyright, Andre Sesta.